What an amazing God. Father, we thank you . We bless your holy name.
Amen.
Because of you, we are so joyful.
Amen.
This kind of joy, we cannot get it nowhere.
Amen.
Only in you.
Hallelujah.
That we will have this strength and joy and happiness and peace. And so we don't take things like this for granted, Lord. Sometimes we're supposed to appreciate and do things to appreciate you, to feel the joy. But sometimes the enemy. But to be honest, when we look at this world, we look at what is going on, when we look at what we are seeing, when we look at what we are hearing, it is only you can give us the joy and the peace that we are looking for. And so we bless your name, and I pray that your name and the blood and the joy and the peace will fill anyone that stands before your presence. Those alive, that wherever we are, we will receive that great impact. Because if we don't get this impact from you, we can't survive.
Amen. Amen.
We know that. The world know that. But just that, the world can't come to you. But we have come. Before you die, you went, before going even to the cross, you pray for us. We were not born. Our fathers were not born. But you did, because you foresee, because you are the God of this world.
Amen.
Father, may you bless your people, especially those that from their birthday, from January up to October, where we are right now. May you join all of them, and Lord, bless them. May you join all of them and keep them. May you join all of them and fill them with your love, your protection, your care, provision. We bless you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody shout, amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I bless my son and my daughters and grandchildren that their birthday is this October. You know, Satan is so smart. I find in October many people were born. I think when you compare, as I do my little mathematics, October, in fact, has a lot of people born in October. No wonder he put Halloween on October so that they can distract and trouble. But we are ahead of him. By the grace of God.
Amen.
Can I hear amen?
Amen?
And so we bless you all. And son, Papa, so happy with you. All my sons, I love all of you because of what you do individually. Your support for the ministry of God, what you do for the Lord, we bless you all and thank you. Can I hear amen? Children of God, can I hear amen? Today is a special day. Because we have never come across October 23rd. We haven't seen 23rd October. We haven't gone through 23rd October before. So it's special. Very, very special. Before I go on, I want to encourage everybody that is here and those online. We have people listening from far away. It goes to all of them and everybody. I saw something in my dream, and I'm going to share this dream with you. Please, I will want from now on every one of us we must do our best to encourage people in the Lord. Amen. Let our conversation, our talk, everything, when God give us the opportunity for others to come across us, please, do your best and encourage. Don't go back to the usual conversation that we have been practicing all these years. Can I hear amen? And please, second, do not let us all stop accusing people. Amen. I say, let us all stop our accusation with people. Amen. Let's take those language from our mouth. Even especially those who do things that we don't even like. And particularly, even our brothers, our sons, our sisters who are practicing even homosexuality. Do not accuse them. Amen. The Lord says we must pray for them. The Lord says, I don't use that word much, but the Lord says we must stop the condemning. Whether they are your child, your son, your daughter, please pray for them. Amen. Let God touch them. God is able to touch them. Can I hear amen? Can I hear amen? The world is turning into condemnation world. The church now is turning into condemnation church. The gospel has been put aside. The love of God has been put aside, and all we do is condemn and condemn and condemn and condemn and condemn and condemn and condemn. We are condemned until we don't get nothing to condemn again. Church of God, please, our time is running out. And I love Jesus so much that I've never seen a master that could tell us what will come ahead of us. Let me tell you something. When in Africa, I'm talking about personal experience, where I come from, my tradition, my culture, and the country I came from. We do a lot of rituals. I'm not included because I don't do that. But many people do a lot of spirituals. Whether to look for money, whether to look for progress, whether to look for children, whether to look for husbands, everything that they go to do after consultation, they have to do a sacrifice. And the oracle would tell them. But one thing Satan deceived them, especially when they go for money, he don't tell them what the end will be. He will let them do everything and seal everything. After you seal everything, for example, I go for money. I go to a powerful shrine and they say, I've been poor. My family is poor. My home is poor. I don't have money. I'm suffering. I'm tired of it. And so now I want to change my destiny. You say, oh, that's so simple. You need this, you do that, you will do that, you will do that, you will do that. And then he will tell you, you have to sacrifice. You can sacrifice it a human being. Some do with their mother, some do with their father, some do with their sisters, some do with their children, some can do use their private part, anywhere to do it. I'm saying all this to say something. After all things is done, the funny thing is that Satan, before you are going through this, you will put a hen, a fowl, or a cock, and they will put that cock in a cage. They won't feed the cock with no corn. Nothing. They put him there. And maybe 3 days, 4 days after they finish every ritual, now he's going to tell you how long you are going to enjoy your money. And so you will be sitting there. Jujuma will be there, and now he is going to release the cock or the fowl or the hen from the cage. And then he will throw a lot of corn on the ground. And you know, a fowl with corn or a cock with corn, they love it so much. So could you imagine that they have fasted this corn or fowl or hen for 4 days? And then they throw the corn on the ground and then it's coming from the cage. You that have come to do the juju, you think, oh my God, he is going to swallow about 20, or he will swallow about 30, or he will swallow about 25. Because the longer he takes a lot of the corn, is the longer I am going to enjoy my money. And when the fowl is released from the cage and he comes with hundreds of corns on the ground, he just uses a neck and pick and just swallow one. Cool. He finished. Yeah. 1 year, my money going to come. I'm going to enjoy my money just for 1 year. Because of 1 year, I've come to kill, to get money. You can cry money tonight. Juju man don't care. Your destiny was in the fowl. And he has showed you. 1 year, your money will come. After 1 year, you are going to die. Jesus says something. He said, a time will come. It will be hard. It will be tough. You see the two masters, how they operate? Jesus, through his liberty, just tell his followers, his disciples, his children, and he says, as time goes on, things are going to be hard. Things are going to be tough. He said, many love, even many will lose their love. Their love will grow cold. 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 The enemy will attack and attack and attack and attack. And it is not going to be easy. Well, if I am Jesus, trust me, I'm not going to tell you. That is going to be tough. That is going to be hard. That is going to be difficult. Because maybe when I tell you, you may not come. But with a love, and because he's so truthful and not a deceiver, he has tell us whatever is going to happen to us at the end time. And he says many people will be discouraged. And now this is the time that we are seeing. Many are discouraged. Many don't want God. Many don't want to get the time to serve God, even though they are doing absolutely nothing. The whole world is so zigzag. The whole world is falling apart. Because of discouragement. I say because of discouragement. Let me tell you, if you are not even careful with your marriage, one will make you so discouraged. The same woman you have married, the same man you have married, if you don't take care, you can be discouraged. As a single lady, your singleness, if you don't hold on to Christ, you can be discouraged with your own self. Why this marriage is not coming true? Why is it that I've prayed and prayed and prayed and fast and do whatever I know to do, and I am still single? You can be discouraged. Can I hear amen? Why am I not getting my breakthrough? You can be discouraged with that. Why my children are not changing after all the prayers that I have put down over and over and over and over, and they are not coming in, and they are not stopping what they are doing? You can be discouraged. You can be discouraged. Why my job is not stable? You can be discouraged. Why am I not healed? Why am I not healed up to date? When I believe we are hearing that Jesus, every part of his body that bleed brings deliverance, brings healing. And why the delay? Why the delay? Why my doors are not opening? You can be discouraged. You can be discouraged. But my dear son or daughter, if you have been going through and pounding all these things, and maybe you have been discouraged, you are not the only person. Oh, can I hear amen? Can I hear amen? At the end time, Satan will use delay, spirit of delay, to attack many of God's children. Listen, discouragement is not the end of this world. Whatever your situation is right now, and the world, this week I've got calls from home, and all of them talking about how difficult things are in Ghana. Things are high. Things are costly. I said, you better shut your mouth and stay there. Here too. All you do is talk, talk, talk. All of you, every position you are, all you are doing is stealing and complaining about the government. And where you work, you are not being sincere and faithful. When even COVID came, when you reach there, you have tests here. When you get there, they are going to test you too. You are paid $150, $150 US to do that test. Now, when they test you and they go to their small cubicle room or whatever to bring their results, they come to you quietly. You are positive. You are positive. When you are positive, that means you have the virus. Listen, can you bring $100? Let me change it so that you can go and take your test. So you sit there and all you complain, the country is high, you know. I say the same thing is going on all over the world. Discouragement is in the faces of everybody. Everyone is going through. Good Christians are going through. Those who don't know God are going through. I always hear Mama talking and say, we must pray for our land. Always she is emphasizing. Discouragement. Discouragement has made people to slow down with God. Discouragement has really invaded so many people that they refuse even to pray. Discouragement has made people not so much even interested in going to the house of God anymore. Discouragement. I'm telling you, some people in their marriage wish. I pray that it would not none of us here. Some wish I am divorced. This woman maybe take her part and let me also take my part and let me go and leave. Just a small thing. Just a small thing. Just a small argument. Just a small misunderstanding. Why? Because the power of Satan has in fact invaded every home. Just a little thing. If you don't have Christ in you, you'll be battling in your heart with your relationship. Because Satan is attacking the family. And as a result of that, discouragement is taking place in many people's heart. But today, I have a good news. I have given you the bad news first. But I'm going to give you the good news. Amen. Can I hear amen? Amen? Listen, Jesus Christ himself was discouraged. Maybe I'm talking to the wrong people. I say Jesus himself did what? Was discouraged in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Garden of Gethsemane. He has pleaded with the disciples. Please, this is a crucial time for me. I plead with you. Please pray for me so that I can go through. This my assignment is so hard. I am getting weak. And I am so afraid. Please intercede. And Jesus was in another corner. He has given them instructions. And he was trying to, things were going on. And he's trying, okay, let me go and see my disciples. What they are doing, whether they are interceding, whether they are praying for me. When he came, Peter was snoring. Paul was, James was snoring. Matthew was snoring. Don't talk about John. When he snores, you hear him from the mob. Could you not really pray for me, Jesus? For 1 hour, so that I could be strengthened and go through. Everybody's sleeping. Listen, try to pray for yourself. Oh. I say, try to pray for yourself. Oh. Sometimes I watch my mom and say, you there, you're a real Buddhist. I always say to myself, because sometimes we will come here and pray. Most of the time, even I do. She will come and pray, and then I'll pick her very late. Sometimes we don't even eat before we go online. We will finish late around 9:30 before she will look for food to eat. And after eating, and everybody trying to do a little bit of something, and for 11:30, Mama will peep and say, Papa, oh boy, come and let's pray. Again? I say, please, you there, you got it. You are a Buddhist. Me? I can't keep on this. And sometimes you keep on praying, and when I pass to go to the washroom, I say, you're tired. Can't you get a little rest? Jesus was discouraged. Because even though he was God, he came in the flesh. And so no matter how even spiritually you are, that's why we have to stop complaining about people. You don't even know how they go through. You don't have no clue. Jesus was the Son of God, and yet he was the Son of Man. Oh, can I hear me somewhere? Please, hold on to your God. Hold on. Hold on to your God that you know that he has saved you. Walk on your own salvation. Time is running. There was a case in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Karen, please put it there for me. 1 Samuel 17. 32. Give me the 32. If you are discouraged, please don't worry. Go back to your God. Go fix some things. Go get some strength. Go get some joy from the Lord, because God is with you. And he's not leaving you. And he will never leave you. Whether there is a delay in everything that we are looking for, whether there is a challenge, whatever is going on. The Bible says, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. He did not even call Goliath's name. Him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Could you imagine that? A king has got someone to fight Goliath for him. The king is the person discouraging David. Are you getting the picture? You can't fight him. The thing was, Abner probably was standing there and said, so who brought this news about this small boy? This is a boy. But David knew what was in him. Oh, can I hear amen? He has got a message from within. And he has come to the king to tell the king, his announcement. I will call it a small boy with big talk. Don't let anybody be afraid. You just came first time in the palace. A giant somewhere that the people of Israel have been running from for 40 days. And this youth, 16, 17 years, just enter. Well, after the Bible says they heard David when he was asking, when he came to look for his brother. He has three brothers in the army of Saul. And when he came there and saw and heard about Goliath screaming and cursing, he asked, who is this man? Who is this giant that cursing God's people, defying God? Who is he? They say he's Goliath, a giant that has been coming for 40 days. And the king says, whoever fight him, he'll be exempted from paying tax in Israel. And not just that alone, but he will get the king's beautiful daughter also to marry. Maybe the daughter really attracted David, I don't know. So much. And then he began to talk to them, and they send a message to the king in the palace. And so the king saw, say, call him then. Probably when he was coming, King Saul thought David was even a giant boy. A giant. Going to solve our problem for us. But when King Saul came out and asked, well, where is the one that's going to fight Goliath? A young youth boy. He has no sword. He has no shield. He has no spear. He has no gun. He has no helmet. This boy, all he has is a sling. Hey, what trouble is this? And you said you are going to fight Goliath? David said yes. And what do you have? Have you been in the army before? He said, no. Have you been one of my warriors? He said, no. Have you been trained as a soldier, as a fighter? He said, no. But by the way, what weapon are you going to use to fight? My string shot. This that we use for fox when they come into the flock of a sheep to kill a Goliath? David said yes. But the king told Goliath in 32, I want us to stay in that 32 so much. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. If it is our time here, we will talk. You such little boy, shout your mouth. Close your mouth and don't even open your mouth this way to the king. The king is, our language, we will say, this is not a joke. Slim. That's all I have, king. And no one should be afraid. In 33, and Saul said to David, I would have agreed, but when I look at you, you are a small boy. I don't see no warrior spirit in you to go and fight a Philistine, though it's a giant. He has been fighting from his youth. For that, but a youth. And he, Goliath, the Philistine, is a man of war. From day one. He has been trained. He has been warring. Every time there is a war between Israel and the Philistine, this man is among them. He has got experience. He has got tactics. He's got skill and tough and strong. Son, you're 16, 17 years. What are you going to do in the battlefield? You can't fight him. Do you know that we are hearing the same things nowadays as a Christian? Maybe you are the giant killer in your family. Now you are so discouraged that you can't even open your mouth to pray again. We can't get married. Why are you troubling yourself? These things have been a generational. You forget Auntie Susan and so, he never get married. Sister Susan and so, he never get married. You remember Auntie, daughter, them, four of them, they never get married. And what make you think that your prayer will help? What make you think your prayer can touch your children, that the attitude and the behavior and the lifestyle that they are in, that you can stop it? Satan, if no man tells you, Satan will tell you. And when Satan speaks, most of the time, we listen to him. And we are discouraged. I've been praying for a long time. This morning, Mama telling me to put some the old dance that I used to dance. Papa don't dance anymore. Papa don't put his feet and shake himself anymore. Long time I see Papa really, really dance. Even though I dance, but, I told somebody they were about to marry then. Every minute, you'll be calling the woman. Every 5 minutes. So I watch him and I say, sir, I don't have a problem you calling every minute. But when you get married, can you continue? Can you continue the calling? every 5 minutes. What you can continue, don't practice and inject it to that partner. Because he knows you can call every time. So when you get married, he expects that you keep on calling. My wife says I don't dance. But I didn't know that he was watching my dancing every time. And he would think that maybe I will keep on dancing. With my sigh and my shaking. But true fact of it is that along the line, when you check your blood test and it's 22 in the morning, your blood sugar level is supposed to be 5.3, 5.4. Now you wake up Sunday morning, dressing up, bathing, and coming to the house of God. And at the back of your mind, your blood sugar is still stuck in your head. And it's 22.5. Can you dance again? If it is not the grace of God. I'm talking reality here. You know, some people, the Christianity, as Mama always talk, religion, they just make people feel happy. And they themselves don't even are not happy. I won't do that. If I don't like you, I make sure you know I don't like you. That's me. I make you know and make sure you know. I don't like you. I don't pretend. I don't know to do that. The Bible says the one that really discouraged David was the king. The king that was in charge and control. He says, I am going to fight this giant. And the king says, you can't. You are small. Later on, the Bible says, okay, if you say you are going to fight, put on, you don't have nothing. Put on my arms. And could he imagine, oh God, it's not, listen, Saul was not a wicked king. To put a little boy in the front line. But Saul was sick into two opinions. Do I allow the child to go? And there is nobody that is coming out to fight. But this little child. Sometimes you are stuck into some opinion, some decision. By the way, Saul did well. Because if Saul did not even allow David to go, the victory would not have come. In spite of all the wickedness. But the only thing he did that the woman gave him too small. They say, Saul have killed 1,000. And David has killed 10,000. It was too low. At least, Saul have been there occupying and push it in little by little. So if David have come to kill, at least give him about, say, 4,000. But they say David has killed 10,000. So you mean upon all what I've done, they give me only 1,000? And then this one also turn into another war. Can I hear amen? Can I hear amen? But I want you to know that David, when they asked him what warfare or what weapons that he has, he showed his what? His slingshot. And Paul says, our warfare are not just carnal, but they are what? Mighty of doing what? Pulling down stronghold. Let me tell you, David armory was inside him. Your breakthrough is inside you. Your breakthrough, your prosperity, your marriage, everything that you ask him for is inside you. If you are not able to pray through, you will never get through. Because David everything that he hold to fight the bear and the lion was inside him. The boldness that he gets was inside him. Now, verse what? 37. What does he say? David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the power of the lion and out of the power of the bear, he would deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go! Listen, the Lord is with you. No matter what you are going, whether it's marriage, whether it's children issue, your Christian walk with God, you're struggling, confusion, destruction, depression, any obstacle that the enemy is putting on your way, I want you to know the Lord. Other people may not come to the house of God. Please keep coming and receive your strength. Because the Lord is with you and is with us. Can I hear amen? Because the way God will turn things around, our problem is that we are not bold enough to take a step of faith. We always see Goliath ahead of us. And when we are watching him, we have to stand maybe sometimes something to look him on top. There is no problem, issue that is bigger than our God. I have come to conclusion in my spirit, my life, my journey of life. At least for 67, 68, whatever place where I am right now, I have come to know that Satan will always hit you with fear. When fear comes, discouragement has come. When fear comes, you are weak. When fear comes, you are confused. When fear comes, when your joy go away, child, everything is gone. When fear, you can be praying and yet full of fear. Always I hear me get dreams. Some people get dreams. They will come and tell us, we saw the ministry full of people. Healing, I have seen it even of late. Healing was going on. Deliverance was going on. But the question is, everybody's seeing. Mama's seeing. I'm seeing. Some of the pastors seeing. But where is it? And then as they tell you that, Satan will tell you, you see now, so tell me, who gave you the dream? Listen, when God is about to walk and he's already taking your case on, that's when your case becomes so bad. Satan will try to put fire. Satan put fire. Satan put fire. Satan put fire. When you are with your wife and always you are fighting and you are trying, praying hard and, oh God, touch my husband. Do you know that most of the time, that's the time the husband come and beat you? Do you know that? None of you, but if I hear anybody beating any one of my daughters here, Papa go take off his shirt. Let me tell you. Mama, even if it is Uncle Rom, I will go and face him. Anytime that a believer that is out and things are getting bad, strong, confusion, always remember, God is about to turn around. Let's hear what David says, and then we come into the end. Because we all know of this scripture, but as I pray and I read, I say, oh my goodness, there are many things that I need to learn about. And I pray to myself, I say, God, give me boldness. Father, give me strength. Don't let me be weak. Now, he says, 41 says, and the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bears the shield went before him. That is his aide-de-camp. That holding his shield. And so Goliath was not, David was not even going to fight only Goliath alone. And hear what happened. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and a ruddy and of a fair countenance. That means David was in fact a youthful, beautiful, handsome youth. Handsome. In everything, when you are putting calculation for a warrior, David was out. He does not qualify. Yeah, so this ministry, look. So you look. They see you as you don't qualify. But you see, the good examiner of heart to know who qualifies and who does not is God. And the Philistines said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staffs? And the Philistine, he was so mad. Do you people have kin? How could a kin allow a young boy, small boy, to face me, Goliath? I've been fighting for years. You know, always Satan is telling us, I was up there and I came down here. I know everything. You are not going to make it. And it's not going to work. You die. The sickness will kill you. Your children are going to kill you. Thank God that Satan does not know what is in the mind of God. That's the truth. And that's the big point. Satan never knew. Either his agents. I one thing, Satan's agents and their servants, they think their master Satan is so powerful. Read the word of God from Genesis to Revelation. You'll find it everywhere. They are boasters. Especially when you are working with them and they have a little simidimi and playing some black dove and this and that. They think everybody in the workplace is under them. They scare them. And what they say is what goes. He says, and the Philistines said to David, come to me. I want to end this fight as quickly as possible. So come close to me, and I will give that flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And the hosts in heaven were just laughing. Because you know that always is only God knows the end. Always It's only God. You yourself, me, will not know the end but God. Only Him. So when you are not following what God is saying and you think you get power and you are doing this and you are suffering people, go ahead. Only God knows the end. But when He shows you the end and you are getting to your end, painful, beautiful, then said David to the Philistine. That's where David began to pull up his spiritual weapons. Asnas. Begin to pull them one by one. As it's begin, when a believer prays, when you pray, when you fast, when you pray, you are releasing that spiritual weapons. Don't go physical. If you go physical, you'll be defeated. You will be overthrown. You cannot make no headway. David began to decree and declare. Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. Whom? Listen. Believers, we must start to do some changes. We must start to do some stuff. We must start to believe our God. We must start to believe the word of the living God. There is no condition situation that you can come out. He said, they will pray unto me, and I, the Lord, I will do what? I will answer. This day, will the Lord deliver thee unto my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the earth and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is. When I hear, excuse to me to say, some leaders in this land, we will do this, we will do that, we will separate. Foreigners, English is. Do you came with English or French? Your parents taught you. And you speak the language. If they put you under a bed during your birth, when they give birth to you and keep you in a room and close the room and don't body talk to you, you can be 20 years and you cannot say a word. You will not say a word to understand a word. When they are coming to give you your food, they keep quiet. They just throw the food. When they are coming to give you a drink, they open the door, they throw the water, and they put it there. They don't say anything. I say, they can keep you for 20 years. And that 20 years boy or girl cannot talk because every language came from God. None of our language is better than anybody. Amen. Can I hear amen? And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saved not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you unto my hand. David, I wish I get your faith to believe God. I wish. This small boy does not have a son. And he's telling this giant that I will cut your head today. Are you following what I'm trying to say? You have no soul. It takes sword to cut someone. And you don't have now. All you have is a string shot. A stone. A pick in the brook. And with confidence, because of what is in David's heart, the God that is in David, the spirit that is in David, he believes the faith that was in David. 17 years. Some of us have served God for 40 years and can't even believe God for headache. Auntie, very. We have to go back to renew our covenant. And if we are error, done anything, tell God. Be real to your God. Be real to him. If you're telling me you have faith and you don't have, God knows you don't have nothing. You can deceive man, but you can't deceive God. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. Believers, we are too fearful. When a man rolled their eyes towards us, we begin to lie all over the place. If the few people that are here, if really we believe our God and take God as he is, and take God by his word, I'm telling you, our world will change. Our Christian walk will change. Our homes, our marriages, our financial crisis, our children that... Listen. Don't fight the boy. Don't fight the children. Don't fight them. Don't fight them. Pray for them. I say, pray for them. Leave people alone.
Amen.
And focus on your own.
Amen.
When they come home, don't fight them.
Amen.
Don't mention what they are in. Don't talk about it. Change your accusation into a word of encouragement. And encourage them. Many of you don't know. The way things are going in the whole world. And excuse me, I'm saying that this homosexual thing that really bothers everybody. Listen, it's not only your home alone that you seeing that or going through that. Now, everywhere in a village in Africa, villages. That's what they are practicing now. Because why? Satan wants us to do things that will make God, that is what is called iniquity. What make God so angry with man? We're not talking about sin here. You see in the word of God, God talks so much about iniquity. Iniquity is so abound. Iniquity, a past sin, ordinary sin. And this, our young ones are defenseless. It's a strong spirit attacking. Can I hear amen? Amen. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone. The Bible says he picked 5 stones in the brook on his way to the battlefield and put it in a skin, a goat skin, probably across his shoulder. And so he took one. You know, we, the string, we call it catapult. We use it for bed. Or skill, or the yellow one that eat the palm tree. We hunt them with our catapult. Some, they are very good. Tall tree, they can bring a bear down with it. And so the Philistines in the land, in the Middle East there, the Philistines, let me tell you, they are very good. When they take their strength and they are fighting the army of Israel, sometimes have to use live bullets to disperse them. But David was good at it. Listen, what you are good at it, keep on doing it. And he put his hand in his back and took thence a stone. The giant even didn't know what was going on. And slain it. Bam! And smoked the Philistine in his forehead. The man did has a helmet close in mouth. The only eyes he can see. When he comes here in a chest, he has a blasphemy. It's an iron shield. His legs here, to the bottom of his feet, is so protected. It is covered. He has an aid that holding his shield. So whether a spear pass under the ground below there, the shield is going to block it out. When it comes to his chest, what breastplate in that chest is going to block that spear out. When he said you want to hit the head, he has an iron helmet that is guiding his head. But God, Holy Spirit, okay. When David released the sword, listen, the battle is not yours. We have been fighting. Please, we don't win. Put it down. Let God take it over. The Bible says when he slain it and smote the Pharisee in his forehead. Here is your forehead. Here. That stone break every bone that was here. And after this bone in front here that God has put to guide our brain, when it passes here, it goes to the brain. Oh, God can make powerful things for you too. And you can shout, "What? Come and see what God have done for me." Only God. The Bible says, and when he smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sank into his forehead. And it fell upon his face to the earth. And what happened? So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Now, David's prophecy has come to pass. Right there, he get a sword. Stand on your feet.